This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Google's being fined for knowing where to find you. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Google has agreed to pay nearly $400 million to settle a lawsuit over how it collects location information from users. Everything from where you go on Google Maps to where you are when you do web searches. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more on that.
40 state attorneys general began probing Google's location data gathering after a 2018 Associated Press story. It said Google was still collecting location information even when some users turned off an account setting called location history. That's because another setting called web and app activity was still on by default. And it continued to collect location data from everything from Google Maps to weather updates on Android phones. In settling the probe, Google has agreed to make certain changes, such as providing more information to users about what it means to turn a location-related account setting on or off. In a blog post, Google said it has already made a number of data privacy-related changes and that the probe was based on outdated product policies. It also said it will provide users more data controls in the coming months. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Now to southern China, where crowds of angry residents have broken out of a COVID lockdown and clashed with police. It's one of the most violent responses so far to the country's strict zero COVID policy. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell reports from Beijing.
Crowds of workers in Guangzhou's lockdown Haizhou district have defied stay-at-home orders and marched through the streets, smashing COVID barriers and at one point turning over a police vehicle. They're mainly itinerant labourers who've come from other parts of China to find jobs in the city. They say that anti-COVID measures have kept them at home for weeks and they can't afford not to be paid. There've also been complaints of food shortages and skyrocketing prices. Riot police have been sent in to control the situation. The latest official factory output and retail sales figures reflect the crushing economic impact of the pandemic and the government's policy responses to it. Last Friday, officials here announced a series of minor changes which have softened some measures, sparking hope that more easing could be planned. However, the strict zero COVID approach is currently increasing tensions right across the country. I'm the BBC's Stephen McDonnell for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down barely, just about less than a tenth of a percent. At Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ, futures are all up in the 0.2% to 1.1% range, with the Dow future up 69 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.809%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The world's population hit 8 billion today, just as representatives from 190 or so countries continue week two of the UN Climate Change Conference in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres had a pretty stark warning at the open: cooperate or perish. One focus of the summit, which is known as COP27, has been how to help lower-income countries deal with climate disasters. Vijay Vaithyaswaran attended the meeting last week. He's The Economist's Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor, and he's here to fill us in. Good morning.
Hello there.
So I guess first, really, we should talk about the state of climate change as it is now. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, "We're on a climate highway to hell. CO2 levels are now 50% higher than they were before the Industrial Revolution." How bad is all that?
The climate change picture is getting worse. We know we have some of the hottest years on record recently, confirmed yet again, and we're blowing past the goal that was set by the United Nations Paris Accord to try to contain the warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's a bit of a magic number to try to minimize the harm that's done to the Earth from various forms of climate impacts. So that's not good news. On the flip side, actually, we'll see probably not as bad on the upside. The pace of deployment of clean energy, particularly around the world, has been quite fast in the last 10 years. We're actually seeing something like the International Energy Agency say they think fossil fuels will peak by 2030, coal, oil, and gas.
Well, I mean, that said, lower-income countries do want and need some assistance, either reducing their own emissions or coping with the consequences of climate change. Are they going to get it?
They are going to get more help. Some of this will come through the old-fashioned way, that is official donor aid, bilaterally from countries like Britain and the United States as well, has increased its funding for adaptation and for other sorts of ways of helping developing countries cope with these problems. There's also philanthropic money. The Rockefeller and Gates Foundations announced big initiatives, you know, measuring in the billions of dollars. We are seeing forms of assistance. Now, they're nowhere near the scale of the tragedy that's going to come, but we've got the marker down for scaling up these sorts of fiddly on-the-ground ways to help that I think actually make a big difference.
Well, what ultimately do you think is going to come out of this summit?
So these UN summits are talking shops, right? They happen every year. And this one is a little COP, they call it. Every 5 years, they have a big COP. Last year in Glasgow was a very big COP. And so the expectations have to be in the right place. There's no major breakthrough that's anticipated. It's not even on the cards. On climate financing, though, I think there's a lot of action that's happening informally through coalitions of the willing. We see, even as the world leaders shift to Indonesia for a G20 summit, in a sense, geopolitics is entering the fray. We've seen President Biden meet with Xi Jinping for the first time, very important for geopolitics, but it's also very important for climate because these two giant emitters have to work together. So I think at that kind of fiddly bilateral bottom-up level, I think we're going to see progress come out of this COP, but it's not going to be a big announcement like the Paris Accord or another agenda-setting kind of outcome.
Vijay Vaithyaswaran is The Economist's Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor. He attended COP27 last week. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen-Morby, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Erica Soderstrom, and Jarrett Dang. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.